Welcome back to Holder Overnight on News Talk Radio CJAD 800. To talk to Peter Anthony Holder, call 790-0991. Toll free 1-800-491-CJAD or on your cellular. Start off with a free call on Bell Mobility. Now, here's Peter.
And does that theme song bring back memories for you? We have on the telephone line right now Jimmy J.J. Walker. Hello, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you? Sorry I'm late. Got hung up on a little thing here, but everything is under control now. It's lovely to be in the city of Montreal again.
Have you been here before, by the way?
Many hundreds of thousands of times when we fly into Maribel and do our little thing.
Okay. 790-0991 is the number to call. Star Talk, Star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, and 1-800-491-CJAD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and also the border states. Right off the bat, let's bring your career up to date. I understand you are in talk radio these days.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I started in talk radio 1,000 years ago. In New York City, actually, at WMCA, which is in New York. This is back in the 60s, actually. And WMCA was the home of the good guys, and we turned talk. We were one of the first stations to turn talk. And we had people like Bob Grant and Barry Gray and Barry Farber, which are legendary talk guys, if anybody knows any history about talk. We had John Sterling, who does Yankee games. And then throughout that time, I've always been involved in talk, whether it be fill-in work, as you know what that's about. And then in the last 5 or 6 years, working at WLS in Chicago, and WHIO in Dayton, Ohio, and KBC here in Los Angeles, and then in the last year or so, KMJ, which is in Fresno, and WOAI, big honker down in San Antonio, Texas, and for the last year and a half at KCAR, which is in Omaha, Nebraska, and now starting in about 2 weeks, I will be in Washington, D.C. doing my little show. So, you know, as you know, you move around in this racket.
Well, I was about to say what you're saying is you can't keep a job there, Jimmy.
Yeah, so it's always fun. I just left the Talkers Convention in New York, which Mike Harrison, as you know, from Talkers Magazine, sponsors every year, and we had a couple of people from Canada there, a young lady from Edmonton who does a show, and before that, which is last week, I was in Toronto, and I did a couple of talk shows up there, not as a talk show host, but as a guest, and I had a great time. So
I saw you on Bynum.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I caught that earlier this week.
Yeah, she was wild, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She's a wild woman. So we had a great time doing that.
Now I'm just curious, you know, with all the talk radio that you're doing these days. A lot of people know you primarily from the television series Good Times that you did in the 70s.
Right, exactly.
And I'm wondering if people confuse Jimmy J.J. Walker with the character that you played.
I think that what happens is, as you know, once you go on the air and you start talking issues, whether you're talking about Lucien Bouchard and the Quebec Bloc and how you feel about that, whether people are going to leave or whatever the story is, I know I talked about that a lot when I was in Toronto. And the fact that I feel that if Quebec wants to leave, get the hell out. You know, I think that let's find out what happens if they can survive on their own. And I've always felt that they have been detrimental to Canada in terms of their commerce, in terms of the dollar, even though right now Canada is probably in its highest financial block in terms of unemployment and stuff like that. But in terms of coming to Montreal, and Montreal, as we all know and you know, is a great city, but this French thing, you know, and I understand the cultural feelings of the people there, but I still think there's a middle ground to this, but the Lucien Bouchard people don't seem to feel that way, and it's so close in Canada, especially in the East. You know, when you deal with the last election that Chrétien had, and it almost was 50-50, I think that in the next election, I think that the secession is going to happen, and I wish them good riddance, in my opinion. That's just me. and so in terms of dealing with issues, I think people, once they hear you deal and once they hear you talk about the issues, they get on with it, because what I found is being in comedy, people, you know, who like you, they tell you they like you. And people who don't like you don't say anything. But when you're in talk, people will tell you that you stink and you suck and you're horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's that kind of deal like that. So, I mean, it was always strange to me, any talk station I worked at, the outpouring of good and bad response.
We always have Americans coming to the show causing trouble. You notice that? 7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk and 1-800-491-CJD. Richard, hi, you're on CJD.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, and you?
Not bad. Not bad. I remember growing up with you, watching you on TV.
Well, then I guess you owe me some rent then. So, you've been growing up with me, there's a couple of years of rent that you owe me, so let's get on with that first.
Okay.
So, good. It's nice to have people remember anything that you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it be the show, Good Times, or whether it be your talk stuff, or whether it be articles you write. You know, I write a lot of stuff for Talkers Magazine, as you probably know.
Yeah.
People who are just so kind to call in, and that happens when you do the stand-up. You know, if I come to a club or if I come to the Comedy Fest up there, people will bring old albums or dolls or whatever for you to sign, and it's always very nice. So people that do those kind of things, and it's strange. Even people, it's funny because if I email somebody back, they'll bring an email and have me sign it. You know, so it's that kind of thing. So it's good that people remember anything that you do and remember any shows that you've done.
Okay, Richard?
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 7900991 is the number. Star Talk, star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJAD. We're talking with Jimmy Walker on CJAD here. 7900991 is the number. What is your assessment of television today, especially when it comes to the way minorities are represented?
Well, I think what happened with the minorities, and you can see this in the poll that just came out in the LA Times, I'm sure, you know, when you're doing your research, it says that minorities right now are working less in terms of television, radio, movies, and stuff like that. The only minority that went up in this last poll, according to Screen Actors Guild, are the Asian Americans, which they went up to from like a 0.8 to a 1.3 percentage of all stuff that's on television, radio, movies, all that kind of stuff. And I think what has happened to minorities, especially African Americans, is that we have shot ourselves in the foot by complaining so much. Sometimes you have to let projects go, good, bad, and indifferent. And what they must realize is that the place of the media and what the media does is they're trying to make money. I mean, if you're not doing well and your numbers are not well at the hours that you're on, you're off the air. And if you make trouble in terms of what minorities have done, they complain about everything, especially the African Americans or whatever you want to call it. They complain about every show that comes on that this is the wrong light, this is that. And there have been projects that have been very positive, whether you take an Amistad or you take a Malcolm X, those kind of things, and they haven't gone to see them. So they can't complain anymore. I've had enough of the complaining, enough of the groaning, enough of the affirmative action nonsense that a lot of African Americans have complained about. And it's showed in the projects that are out there. The projects have dwindled down to a precious few, like on network TV. We have only the D.L. Hewley show. We have the Cosby show and probably one other thing. Whereas at the time that I was on the air and throughout, you know, the past, there was probably 20, 30 projects, but every time you turn around, there's complaints. And the same thing happened in the movies. Now there's a movie out by Eddie Murphy called Life, which got off to a good start and made like $15 to $20 million in the first week, and now has slowed down considerably because all the people that wanted to see it saw it. And there's no legs on this movie, and I think that the plight of the African American and the minority, whether it be the Native Americans or Hispanics or whatever it is very serious because of the complaining constantly. It's a constant process of what they don't realize is the place of the networks. All they want to do is make money. And, you know, your station, as much as you think you're doing a great show and everything like that, if they don't make money off you, you're out of there. So that's what the problem is. You saw that with a guy that came up your way, Howard Stern. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when people started complaining about Howard Stern and started calling the sponsors and started getting crazy about it, they got Howard Stern. That was the end of it. I mean, he's still big here and everything like that. But the thing is to make money. And the more the African-Americans complain, the more that Hispanics complain, the less that they'll be in projects. And that's why there's very few of them going to be on TV. There won't be many more African-American shows. There will be minorities in programs like ER and those kind of things. And there won't be any breakout characters. And by breakout characters, I mean like myself or somebody equivalent to, say, a Kramer or a Frasier or something like that, because they don't want to be funny anymore. They want to be, and if you look at what a Denzel Washington does, they're always the smartest guy, the greatest guy. Sometimes you just have to have a wild and crazy, stupid guy. You know, and those are the characters that break out. So there's constant complaining by minorities, and therefore I think the plight of the minorities in the media is going to be very severe.
Now, I noticed when you mentioned the few shows that are on the networks, you didn't mention the WB, and I'm curious to know if you feel that in some ways the WB is almost ghettoizing African-American television.
I think the WB is a great place for African-Americans to be, and it is a ghetto, but it's the only place that we can go, because this, and people don't realize there aren't that many shows on the WB anymore that are African American. You know, Steve Harvey, Jamie Foxx, the Wayans brothers, and The Smart Guy. So there's four of those shows that are on, and all those other shows, I don't think people realize, have been canceled. But what the thing is, which is good.
Well, there still is For Your Love, if I'm not mistaken.
For Your Love, yeah, okay. But isn't that a mixed show, though?
It has six principals, two are white.
Yeah, two are white, so that's kind of, I consider that kind of mixed. See, what it does is it gives a lot of African-Americans a chance to be writers, producers, but only on those kind of shows, and that's fine. I mean, I'm all for that. I don't have a problem with that, and what you said is exactly right. The WB has ghetto ties, but that's okay, because we need a place to go. I mean, I'm not a big Def Jam follower. I don't know if you guys get that up there, which is on HBO and our thing, but that show has helped a lot of African-American comedians, but what it does is it shows the hypocrisy of the African-Americans. So they always say, well, we want clean stuff or we want family stuff. But all the guys that have come out of there, whether it be a Martin Lawrence or a D.L. Hewley or all those kind of guys like that, are all dirty, filthy comics, which just doesn't bother me. But I don't want to hear from the African-American community that, oh, gee, we don't want any dirt. We want positive images. Well, these guys are not positive images. I'm not saying that they're not talented at what they do, but they're very dirty. They're very filthy. The Guy Tories and the Bernie Macs of the world, all those guys are really dirty blue comics. And that's fine. But I don't want to hear from the African-American community, we want this squeaky clean image, because the African-American community does not sponsor someone like a Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby has basically a 98% white following, and you'll never hear his name. You'll hear Richard Pryor, or you'll hear Bernie Mac, or you'll hear Steve Harvey. So I don't want to hear all this nonsense, and because of that, the people that are in charge of the network say, we just won't do any African-American projects because we don't want to go through all that.
We're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker on CJAD. 7900991 is the number. So you were very successful in the 70s. The show went off the air, what, 1979, after a six-year run?
Okay.
Did you not have an opportunity to parlay that into other things? I know you did a couple of other shows, if I'm not mistaken, for Norman Lear, too, or Aaron Spelling, actually.
Aaron Spelling was very good to me in those days. I think the problem was I did not, you know, and a lot of it, you don't want to blame anybody. Some of it is, I guess, technically, you know, I can't blame myself. I would like to. Sometimes you have to take responsibility, so I do in kind of a reverse way. I don't feel I've had the opportunities, but you can't walk around saying, hey, you know, if this would have happened and that would have happened. I guess I have to take responsibility for what happened in terms of that, but I was on the road a lot, too, so that was my kind of thing. I very much had a Seinfeld mentality where I always felt I was a stand-up and felt that people were going to know me for that, but that didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work, so therefore, even though I work the road a lot now, but as kind of a second class comedy act, but still with a first-class material. That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me, Tommy Chong, Pauly Shore, and a couple of others, I think, are probably the biggest nightclub comics that work the comedy club circuit. And then there's other people who are big in the concert stage in terms of Jeff Foxworthy and Carrot Top and maybe Chris Rock. But in terms of the comedy club stuff, yeah, I still think that I'm pretty one of the bigger guys in the top five or six guys that worked there. But we never really took off the way I thought it was going to happen. And, well, sometimes you have to deal with that rather than moaning and groaning. Just try to make your act as good as possible and take responsibility, which I basically do.
One of the venues open to a lot of comics these days is Cable. Would you say your stuff is too clean for Cable?
Yeah, I don't think I'm dirty at all. I think I'm very clean.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's a proliferation of stuff on cable that is not clean. I don't think a Cosby today coming up with all his talent would have a venue open to him on cable.
No, I think that Cosby will still be a network guy because he's, in my opinion, I think he's always been the best comic in America, but probably. He's made tons and tons of money, which is good because he's very talented. But I think that nobody emulates Cosby. Everybody tries to be like Pryor because being like Cosby is very, very difficult. What he does is so difficult and so hard and takes so much talent, and most guys, myself included, do not have that kind of talent. And nobody ever mentioned Cosby as one of the great ones that he is. Everybody talks about Richard, and Richard is in no Richard Pryor. Richard is in no way in the category of Bill Cosby.
If I would find somebody, if I could name somebody who I thought was somewhere in between the two of them, you keep mentioning Pryor, you keep mentioning Cosby. Earlier you mentioned Steve Harvey. I find him to be a very talented comic.
Steve Harvey is good, but if you look at the tour, and they have, I think something like the Geniuses of Soul Comedy or whatever they call that, him and Eric the Entertainer and the other guy, which his name will come to me, Bernie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bernie Mac is probably the most talented comic on that tour, but most white people have no idea who Bernie Mac is. and Bernie Mac comes from Def Jam. He's not as dirty as the other guys, and I think Bernie Mac is probably far more talented than Steve Harvey. That's my opinion.
Okay. We're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker here at News Talk Radio CJD. 7900991 is the number. Star Talk, star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. Lines free if you want to call in. It's 150.
New Talk Radio, CJAD 800. Now listening to Holder Overnight on New Talk Radio, CJAD. To talk to Peter Anthony Holder, call 790-0991. Toll free, 1-800-491-CJAD, or on your cellular, Star Talk. It's a free call on Bell Mobility. And now, here's Peter.
And we're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker. You know him, you love him from such television shows as Good Time. 7900991 is the number, Star Talk, and 1-800-491-CJD. Jimmy, you were mentioning earlier that television audiences, primarily the black audiences, complain about the quality or the characters that have been portrayed on television in the past. Were you getting a lot of heat for playing J.J. on The Good Times?
I think we did get a lot of heat, and I actually think that's one of the reasons our show, besides some problems that we had in the structure of the show, went off the air. I mean, this is a show that probably could have lasted 10 to 12 years. You know, Norman Lear, our illustrious producer, had a knack at that time for doing that. But everybody was complaining and moaning and groaning that everybody cut off their own noses to spite their face, and it was ridiculous what happened with a lot of shows, not only us, but it may have been, say, a Sanford and Son or a few other shows that were on at the time. And I always tell the story of the fact that when the Cosby Show came on, they wanted a companion piece to the Cosby Show, the networks, that was just the opposite of the Cosby Show because it was so clean. And because you know, people kept complaining and moaning and groaning. They came up with a show that was very, like, they had crazy people on the show and ridiculous and stuff like that. And the guy who wrote for our show, Michael Moy, who happens to be a black guy, came up with this great idea to do a show like that, which is the opposite of the Cosby Show. And he took it to the networks, and the networks said, we can't do it as a black family. So they did it as a white family, and it turned out to be Married with Children. That was supposed to be a black show. And they said, we cannot do this show as a black show.
Now, why couldn't they?
Because they said it was too negative because the black people would be complaining. And the show only ran 13 years. Thank you.
Now, didn't you even get some heat? Didn't Esther Rolle complain about JJ?
A lot of people were complaining. It's like being on, it's like being on the Expos and having your team throw bats at you.
That might happen soon if you've seen the Expos playing lately.
Yes, I saw them tonight, actually. I think it was an 8-2 loss that they had with the lovely 3,000 people in the stands.
I was going to say, the only thing is you have to have somebody in the stands to throw those bats if you're going to do that.
So, yeah, so that's the deal there. I mean, you know, so, I mean, everybody's complaining, and then people wonder why they're out of work. You know, that's the problem in black television. And you're going to find out in the next few years, I think there's going to be less and less minorities on TV and less star minorities. There's going to be people who work, like they just had a big flack on ER where Eric LaSalle says he didn't want to be with a white woman or whatever the story was.
Right.
And that's horse duty. You know, that's the part, and that's it. I understand him fighting for black women, but if they want to write something with a little spice in it, that's okay, too. But, see, I think that's where you're going to find there's a problem with black characters, and you're going to see that ER, because of a lot of people leaving, you're going to see that in the next 2 or 3 years. You'll see a show like that leaving also, which now one of the biggest characters on that show is a black guy because everybody left the show. But because of the constant complaining and moaning from the inner structure of the show, you're going to see that those kind of shows get canceled also.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about comedy in general. 7900991 is the number to call. We're talking with Jimmy Walker. Your thoughts on how comedy has changed since you started right through until today?
When I started, you couldn't say hell on TV. You couldn't say damn on the radio. Now anything goes, and language is king. And people use language all the time. A lot of it was because of lack of talent, because people don't have anything to say. And I think you see that in radio and television. You see that in the morning shows that come on radio, which are totally irresponsible, most of them, because they're copying Howard Stern. They all want to be like Stern. And, you know, not to say I'm a Stern fan, because I'm probably not, but there's already one Howard Stern. Let him do that thing. But every program director in America and North America says, we got to have another Howard Stern. So you'll see that in formatic radio is what I call two guys in a skirt format. And what that is you have two guys who are very rowdy and ridiculous and trying to be as blue as possible and get the TV critic in town all wound up. And you have some poor forlorn girl doing the weather or the news who is just going, oh, you guys are just terrible. And they try to be as controversial and nasty and attack people as much as possible. And North America has gotten into a habit of finding that these people are good. We've lowered the standard of comedy and radio. You know, nobody can be clean anymore. It's the Howard Stern, man cow, those kind of guys mentality. And North America has lowered its standards and has lowered its morals because of these kind of people.
We're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker, 7900991 is the number. Bill in TMR, hello.
How you doing?
Fine, and you?
I'm legally blind, eh?
Okay.
And I do comedy for the blind. I just want to ask your guest there, how does he do comedy for the blind?
They can't see. I mean, I would like to say we do this and we do that. I think, unfortunately, what the plan is to do it for the majority of people. And the majority of people are not blind, and we should look into that more, but we really don't. I mean, I don't want to lie and say we're trying to do something great, and we're not.
No, but I do it for the blind, eh?
Well, then you're the guy leading the way, and I'm sure you probably will forge some sort of niche for yourself in that market, and people would like to see that or in terms of deal with that. And we just haven't. We haven't. I mean, we have a couple of what they may call physically handicapped comedians, Chris Fonseca being one who has multiple sclerosis, who's very, very funny, and Kathy oh God, what is Kathy's last name? I forgot her name. Kathy Buckley, who
hearing impaired.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she does it, but we really don't. And I think because it makes people so uneasy to see somebody who is blind or hearing impaired or multiple sclerosis, it makes us uneasy. We still haven't grown comfortable with it. So I would say no, we don't do anything for the physically impaired. We really don't.
Jerry Jewell also comes to mind.
Yeah, Jerry Jewell, who was around for a long time. I haven't seen Jerry in a while. But, yeah, she used to be out there. But, like I said, we're very uncomfortable with any kind of handicaps.
Can you hang on a little longer, Jimmy?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, 7900991 is the number. Thank you for the call, Bill. 7900991, Star Talk, Star 8255, the service of Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. We're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker, lines free if you want to call in. The news is up next, and on the other side, as usual, our 2 o'clock soul selection comes your way. And then we'll continue with Jimmy Walker. This is News Talk Radio, CJ 8800. Brian, the Family Stone, here on News Talk Radio, CJD, with a number 2 song from 1969, Hot Fun in the Summertime. I thought I'd pick that one because you've had some pretty sweltering heat in the last couple of days. Very unusually warm for May. 7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk, Star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. CJAD. We're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker, and I guess you live in Nevada, so you know heat, don't you?
We know heat. We get like 35, 40, so that's pretty serious.
That's some serious stuff. Let's go to the phone. 7900991 is the number to call. Martin, hi, you're on CJAD with Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Yeah, how are you, Jimmy?
How you doing, Martin?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right.
I just wanted to let you know how much I always enjoyed your good time show, one of my favorite shows. And I wanted to know if you remember meeting my 2 sons last Friday night outside a club in Toronto where you were performing.
Oh, yeah, the Mendelssohn boys.
That's the boys, yeah.
I can't forget them. I told them I'm going to try. I'm doing David Letterman on the 27th, and that's
yeah.
It. Because they seemed to know everything that I had ever done.
Oh, they love you.
I was like stunned. I said, I'm going to talk.
They were killing you, they said.
Yeah, they were unbelievable. I said, you know, if I remember it on the 27th when I do Letterman, I will mention the Mendelssohn boys, but forget that. I don't have to mention them now. Now I mention them in Montreal.
That's it, yeah. Oh, yeah, they said they were thrilled with the chat that they had with you.
They were very nice guys. Tell them I said hello.
I shall do that.
Okay.
Okay, well, how do somebody get in touch with you if they want to drop you a line?
You can get right through this show. I mean, they'll track me down. Very trackable.
What station are you on in Nevada?
No, I'm not on in Nevada. Now I'm going to be on in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
if you're listening to a station now, just write to Peter, and he will track me down.
He'll track you down.
Okay, Martin?
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 7900991, the number, John and NDG. Hi, you're on CJD.
How you doing, Peter?
Fine, and you?
The Kid Dynamite.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How you doing, J.J.?
All right.
Listen, it was a pleasure seeing you in good times. As a kid, I loved your show, and I saw you in a couple things after that. I just thought I'd take this opportunity to thank you.
Well, you know, it's nice that you take time out, because I know you're a busy guy, even though it's like almost 2 o'clock in the morning that you're showing. Maybe neither one of us have lives, but that's okay that you would take time out to call us and say hello and listen to Peter's show and see what the devil's going on. And as usual, we always appreciate anybody that takes time out of their schedule, because we know people are very busy.
Hey, I appreciate it. I just, coming back from school, stopped at a payphone and said,
even more better. Hey. I love to see that when, as I pull over to the road and see people calling, taking time out on a payphone.
Yeah.
That's very serious.
And Peter, I think you got to, I believe you need your radio music show, because I love the music you put on. The soul selections, you're just...
Every night we do a soul selection.
I know, and it's smoking, I'm telling you. You need your own music show, I'm telling you.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
7900991. We go up all the way to Farnham. Vivian, hi, you're on CJD.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, Vivian.
I missed you. I haven't said hello to you for a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Hello, JJ.
Hi. We're glad we spawned you to call us. My goodness. Good.
We have to stay up. Peter keeps us up.
Well, that's good. That's
every
good.
Night.
How do you feel?
He never quits.
How do you feel? You feeling all right?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to tell you.
Glad you're healthy.
I really enjoyed your program when you were on Good Times. And I get laughed at by my family because I like to save my old stuff. Like, you know, I'm still using my Commodore computer.
Yikes!
And on Christmas time, to their surprise, I pulled out my old beta machine, and I played some Good Times.
Well, a beta machine, my goodness.
Yes.
If you keep the beta machine, the good thing is you'll always have an investment.
It's
so you'll be able to and I'm sure you played your 8-track while you were there, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But you see, they don't have all the niceties that I have.
No, you're way ahead of the game with a beta and an 8-track. My goodness, there's no stopping you. And I'm sure you read with your lava lamp.
No, I don't. I read with a candle.
A candle? My goodness gracious.
But you know, people like to laugh at you because you save old stuff, and then they're so surprised when you pull out stuff that they don't have and they really miss and they really wanted to see.
Well,
so now I make them jealous.
It's good that you save all that stuff, and because you listen to Peter's show, we know where to find that stuff if we're ever looking for it.
Okay, Vivian?
Peter knows everything.
He does. That's why he's a talk show guy.
Thank you for the call, Vivian.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 7900991 is the number to call. We don't get Nick at Night or Nickelodeon here in Canada. But I know that there was a resurgence of the Jeffersons. It's suddenly big again because it's on Nick at Night. Is Good Times on Nick at Night?
No, we're not on at Nick at Night. We're on, as they would say, in the ethnic markets or the urban markets, which would be like Washington, D.C., Chicago, Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas. We're very big in D.C. and Chicago. So they, through their marketing, they feel that we are an urban show. So we run in urban markets, and Montreal's not an urban market.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the road, with the success, and again, the resurgence of the Jeffersons on Nick at Night. I mean, you see the Sherman Hemsley and
Isabel
Sanford all over the place all of a sudden, and it's like people are discovering them anew, and certainly a whole new generation of people who are discovering them. There is the opportunity, I'm sure, that will happen with Good Times.
I'm not sure, because our show wasn't, as you said earlier, our show wasn't as peaceful and nice as their show. And you got to remember the Jeffersons, Isabel and Sherman. I mean, they're friends, and they got along. I mean, whatever many years they were on, 10, 12 years, and I think that plays a part too, because they are friends, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's very important.
Do you ever see any of the gang from the old show?
No,
not at all.
None at all.
Our 2 o'clock soul selection last night was Janet Jackson. She was on your show for a few years too.
She was on our show for a while, and you know, you got to remember, you know,
she was 10.
The Jacksons were huge stars then,
yeah.
And I think it's hard for people to remember how far back and how long they've been around. She, when she came on our show at 5 or 6 years old, this was her third show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's shocking for people to realize that. They go, my goodness gracious, her third show at 5 years old. Yeah, so the Jacksons have been around forever.
We're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker, 7900991 is the number to call. Jean Lachine, hello, you're on CJD. Hello, Jean, are you there?
Jean's left us.
I think we lost Jean. 7900991.
He's back, please. Stay on the line.
7900991 is the number. Star Talk, star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. Less than 15 minutes to go with Jimmy J.J. Walker. It's 2:16.
CJ. You're listening to Holder Overnight on News Talk Radio, CJAD. To talk to Peter Anthony Holder, call 790-0991. Toll free, 1-800-491-CJAD, or on your cellular, Star Talk. It's a free call on Bell Mobility. And now, here's Peter.
And we're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker here on News Talk Radio CJD. Around the time you came to prominence, Jimmy, there were a lot of great comics that came out around that time. I guess David Brenner came out around that time, right?
Well, we were all in the same, I guess if you want to say, class. Me, David, Gabe Kaplan, Freddie Prinze, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams. I don't think it's any different than it is now in terms of what you have with Seinfeld and Reiser and Tim Allen and now Ray Romano and Kevin James and D.L. Hughley. So we were the first wave, definitely, of comics that did shows that were legitimate comics at that time. Then before us, I guess you got like a Sid Caesar and Jackie Gleason and Dick Van Dyke and all those kind of people. So we were one of those classes at that time. Me and Freddie were very close. I knew Gabe Kaplan and Billy Crystal and Robin. So, I mean, we all knew each other.
Yet, at the time, with all those big names you mentioned, there was also Steve Landisberg in that group, I guess.
Steve Landisberg, who I just saw Sunday, we did Hollywood Squares together. Steve was a very good friend of mine, still is.
With all those names you mentioned, didn't Time Magazine name you Comedian of the Decade?
Well, I guess they had a bad day, so they came out of a hat and threw my name in as Comedian of the Decade. It was funny because what happened there was they actually came to see Tim Reed, who was on a show called Sister Sister now. And Tim Reed was with another comic called Tom Dreesen.
Tom Dreesen.
Yeah, and it was Tim and Tom at that time, and for some silly reason, they thought that I was funnier than them, and they put my name in the hopper, and they came to see me three or four more times, and thank goodness, you know, there was a couple of laughs, and that was the deal.
Now, comedy is a very difficult thing, and it is also a very competitive business. Was there a lot of competitiveness or camaraderie or a combination of both when you're on the road with those names you mentioned?
I think now there's tremendous competitiveness. I think that we as comics are not close at all. We fight among ourselves, which we shouldn't do. We put each other down. When the time that I came out with Brennan and all those guys, we were very, very close. And one of the reasons I got on TV was because of David Brenner and Steve Landisberg and Bette Midler. In those days, we had the Jack Parr Show, which was the forerunner to Johnny Carson and Jay Leno. And they fought for me to get on the Jack Parr Show, and they went so hard as to go say to Jack Parr people, if Jimmy Walker doesn't do the Jack Parr Show, we're not doing the Jack Parr Show anymore. So that was a tremendous thing for me. It helped me tremendously in terms of my television career because those guys took a very, very strong stand that I get on the show. And that I don't think would ever happen now. The last time that happened was David Letterman with Jay Leno. And now we see the war between those two.
Mm-hmm.
David Letterman went very hard to the mat for Jay Leno because at the time, Johnny Carson was not a Jay Leno fan. And David went very, very hard to the mat for Jay. And now Jay has kind of turned his back on David.
Right. 7900991 is the number to call. We are talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker here at News Talk Radio, CJAD. I'll use a sports analogy here. They've increased the size of major leagues. In hockey, you used to have 6 teams. Now you got 30. Baseball has increased the size of teams in the league. Same thing with football. It has watered down the league. Several years ago, like the 80s and the 90s, every cable company had a comedy night, and as a result, you had clubs springing up all over the place. Anywhere, you know, it was just like everywhere there was a microphone and a brick wall, there was a comic.
You are correct. And let me say this. I mean, I'm not one of these people who are putting down the comics now. I think we have some great comics now. And I'm not going to be one of these guys who say, well, you know, when I started, only the great comics and this and that. No, there's good comics now. And there's good people around. I think what did hurt us, and you're exactly right, is maybe too much exposure when we had the Improv and Caroline's, those shows that were on TV. We had Fox Night. We had Fox Sunday. And believe me when I tell you, I thought that was going to really help us. Because up until that time, very few people had ever seen a stand-up comedian live. Most people had seen stand-up comedians basically on the Ed Sullivan Show and a few on the Johnny Carson Show, but Ed Sullivan was really a big outlet in those days. And then all of a sudden, the proliferation, people don't know who's who anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were so many comedians coming on, as you said, the brick wall format. There was like 10 comics coming on at a time, and people would get it, the whole thing confused. And then, as we can see now, most of those shows are off. You guys got a local, I think it's on PBS where you got that comedy. Guys get a half hour to do whatever. When I was up there, I saw that.
CBC Comics.
Yeah, CBC Comics.
Yeah.
You know, you get a chance to see that, but I think that you're exactly right. That exactly hurt us, and I think I was wrong on that. I was a big believer in that. I thought that was a great thing for us, and then comes to pass, it didn't work.
I'll use another analogy, disco. I'm a big fan of disco. Sorry to say it for some people who hate to hear that, but I like disco. And
I love disco.
I think part of the problem with disco in the 70s was that everyone thought they could do it.
Right, exactly.
And now we call it dance music, and you hear some of the retro, quote-unquote, disco tunes of the 70s, and of course, they're only playing the hits. The stuff sounds great.
Well, I mean, Cher, I guess, is the biggest one to that. I mean, that's a stone disco tune. I'm surprised that people are so like, oh, gee, this is something new. I think that was done. I think that's Donna Summer, don't you?
Exactly. Exactly. We're talking with Jimmy J.J. Walker here on News Talk Radio CJAD. You know, a lot of times when your name comes up or somebody of your era comes up, I mean, you mentioned you're on the Hollywood Squares.
Right.
Now, I'm hearing that, and I watch it every day. We catch it here on CSCF at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a great show.
Right.
But for some odd reason, people always talk about, you know, oh, gosh, a Hollywood Squares, that's a place where former stars go to die.
Yeah, let me say this. I don't disagree with that. I don't think you die there, but I don't, you know, when Whoopi took over now, I think you're going to see bigger stars on there. There's bigger people on there. But there's definitely, and I'm the first one to say, no, Jimmy Walker is not a major star, but Jimmy Walker is known in some quarters, and Jimmy Walker is still viable. But no, there's a group of us that are not big stars. I mean, I'm going to, you know, that's real. I mean, the big stars now in comedy are like Chris Rock and those kind of people like that. And but the great thing is that when you come to see a show with Jimmy Walker or David Brenner, you're going to see a real good show because we are very, very conscientious of our people that do come to see us. There's a lot of people that are not Jimmy Walker fans or David Brenner fans or Steve Landisberg fans, and we are not the big stars that maybe we once were or whatever the story is. And I'm the first one to say that. I'm not going to sit there and go, yeah, I'm a star. No, not at all. But, I mean, I still think we're viable, and if you come see us, I think a lot of people go, gee whiz, you know, it's a little better than what I thought it was going to be. And that's the way I feel about what we do, and I think we're very strong, and we're not less talented. The industry has changed, and the industry changes, if you want to say, against us.
If you had the opportunity to write your own ticket and walk into a network and do a television show, well, let me reverse that a little bit. Do you think the networks would allow you to do something different than you've done in the past, or do they want JJ 25 years later?
They want JJ 25 years later, if they cared at all. And the reality of it is, they don't care. Jimmy Walker in the network eyes, unless I get like a fourth or fifth lead in a show, Jimmy Walker to them is dead. I mean, let's be honest about it. I'm the first one to say that. I mean, that's why I think that I branched into talk full time, basically, besides the stand up that I do in the clubs. And that's something you have to be honest about. Sometimes you get lucky, like a Jerry Van Dyke did on Coach, you know, whose career was really, you know, buried, and then got lucky to get a coach and get back in, you know, to do a show like Coach and get back in the hunt. But that may not happen for Jimmy Walker, and Jimmy Walker has to be honest about that.
Well, you know, you're very honest about that whole situation, but you don't sound bitter.
Because you know why? Nobody cares. you want somebody to go, oh, gee, Jimmy Walker. The way the networks looked at it, and they look at it, and the producers look at it, hey, you did your show. You got paid your money. Get out of here and go home. You know, that's enough. We're looking for new guys. And they have their guys. They have Chris Rock. They have David Chappelle. They have D.L. Hewley. And they have their guys they want. And I'm not going to sit here and say I think that I'm less talented than any of those guys, because I don't believe that. It's just that maybe right now, through, if you want to say age or whatever, and time, I mean, if we walked in Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle and those kind of guys, D.L. Hewley, into an airport, I think that I would be the most recognizable. I think people will be most enthused to see me, but the networks don't feel that way, and they're in charge. All you got to do as a talent is remain as talented as you think you can, and that's what I do.
Well, I think you will have your Jerry Van Dyke moment, because I think part of it has to do with attitude, and you mentioned you show up a lot on things like Letterman, and
I'll be on the 27th, and I'll be on this month on I'm doing what we call Nick at Night stuff,
mm-hmm.
You don't get in Canada, and also I'm doing Hollywood Squares, and I just did two little silly movies, one called I Know Why You Screamed last summer, which will be out this summer, and then I'm still doing my talk show stuff. So, I mean, I'm not sitting here with any great imaginations of saying, oh, gee, Jimmy Walker's going to be a big star, because that's not going to happen. You know, those days are done if they were ever there at all in the first place.
Well, Jimmy, I thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this evening, and I know things are going to go well for you anyway, because like I said, it's all part of the attitude, and as I was about to say earlier, you're on shows like Letterman, and people like Letterman don't go out of their way to have quote-unquote has-beens on. They have you on because you're funny, you're talented, you do great panel, as they say.
And thanks for having me on your show, and I'm sorry I was a little late, and I'm sorry we had to wait a couple of weeks before I could get on the show, but doing it has been fun, and I appreciate your time.
You're a busy guy.
Thanks,
I understand
guys.
It. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.